Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O great sage, representative of the Lord, kindly satisfy my inquisitiveness in all that I have inquired from you and all that I may not have inquired from you from the very beginning of my questionings. Since I am a soul surrendered unto you, please impart full knowledge in this connection. Purport. The spiritual master is always prepared to impart knowledge to the disciple, and specifically when the disciple is very inquisitive. Inquisitiveness on the part of a disciple is greatly necessary for the progressive disciple. Maharaj Parikshit is a typical disciple because he is perfectly inquisitive. If one is not very inquisitive about self-realization, one need not approach a spiritual master simply to make a show of discipleship. Not only is Maharaj Parikshit inquisitive concerning all he has inquired about, but he is also anxious to know about what he has not been able to inquire. Factually, it is not possible for a man to inquire about everything from the spiritual master. But the bona fide spiritual master is able to enlighten the disciple in every way for the disciple's benefit. Verse again. Sarvame tachya bhagavan pichate menupurvashaha tatvatorhasyudarhartam prapanaya mahamune. O great sage, representative of the Lord, kindly satisfy my inquisitiveness in all that I have inquired from you and all that I may not have inquired from you from the very beginning of my questionings. Since I am a soul surrendered unto you, please impart full knowledge in this connection. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Mitalesh Mati Shri Ram Swami Tanamani. So this is a very nice chapter. It's just Parikshit Maharaj asking questions from Shukadeva Goswami, the whole chapter. And I think we're coming to the end. Yeah, coming, approaching the end. One thing that I find amazing is that Parikshit Maharaj asks so many questions in one go. I don't think he had a notebook. And then Shukadeva Goswami just hears all the questions and then just answers them all. And it's just incredible, their mental capacity to remember all of these things. And of course, Shukadeva Goswami doesn't answer each question in one verse. He's answering them over a long span of verses, over the whole Bhagavatam. It's just incredible. He asks about 30 different questions here, all very different topics or different, or quite intricate. And then even after asking so many different questions, he says, and if there's anything that I haven't covered, then please answer that as well. So it shows the mood of a disciple. And Srila Prabhupada focuses on that point in the purport of inquisitiveness and how inquisitive we are. So what is the role of a disciple? One of the roles of a disciple is to ask questions from the spiritual master, to learn from the spiritual master, to inquire submissively, and to hear from the spiritual master. So if we find that we haven't got any questions, I can't think of anything, then that is a problem. And Prabhupada even says here that if you haven't got any questions, then you don't need a spiritual master. So if you haven't got any questions, if you don't want to know anything, if you're not inquisitive, if you're not desiring to learn, then there's no need to accept a spiritual master, because that is his function, to enlighten us in spiritual knowledge. Recently there was a questions and answers with my spiritual master, Srila Shivaram Swami, and they sat down. It was in Mayapur, I don't know if you were there, Andy Gurupuru was on the podcast. So they sat down and Guru Maharaj said, okay, does anybody have any questions? And there was a kind of like a pause, and nobody like shot their hand up. And he said, whenever I see that people don't have questions, to me it means they're not reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Because if we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books and we're exposing ourselves to these topics, then naturally we're going to be trying to understand it. We're going to be reading and thinking, well, how is that? And how does that work? Or what is this detail? Or how do I apply it into my life as well? So if we're enthusiastic to be Krishna conscious, if we want to come closer to Krishna, then naturally we'll have questions that we want to ask from our spiritual masters. This point that Pariksit Maharaj says here, that please tell me what I haven't asked as well, reminds me of one instance with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that sometimes we experience that someone may say something to us, oh, you know, don't do that, Prabhu, you know, or why are you like that? Or somebody comes up to us, Prabhu, I need to talk to you for a minute. Or maybe an authority comes to us, Prabhu, and we need to talk, come after lunch. We're like, you know, shaking until lunch, and then what are they going to say to me? But somebody's complained about you, they've been saying this and they've been saying that. And often our reaction is to be defensive. Think, you know, well, actually, in that situation, you know, it wasn't actually they had already done something. Somebody else had already said something to them, and it wasn't quite what I said. I didn't mean it like that. We become defensive. Radhanath Maharaj was saying that if somebody comes to you and says, Prabhu, you're rude, or you're loud, or you're not chanting properly. I've had that a few times told to me, you're not chanting properly. Then what we should say is, thank you. Thank you very much for helping me. Thank you for taking the time to say that. Thank you for taking the risk of saying that to me, because I could possibly punch you in the face if you annoy me. And actually, especially if it's a conflict where somebody is angry with us and they're like, you know, why are you like that? Or why are you doing that? Or don't do that. Let me say, I'm sorry. And this is what you're seeing is just a tiny speck of all of the bad qualities that I have. It's just a speck of all of the anattas that I have in my heart. So don't be surprised if I do something wrong or if I offend you, because I'm very sinful and very fallen, and I'm just trying to keep it together. So thank you for showing that to me, and please tell me more in the future. You know, I'm here, I'm open, and help me advance in my spiritual life. It just reminded me, this thing that Pariksit Maharaj is saying, tell me about this, tell me about creation, tell me about Krishna's pastimes, and anything else, tell me everything. Tell me anything you know, because I can't even think of the questions. So, you know, I'm a blank slate and I'm here ready for you to tell me whatever you can. And I wouldn't say that this is the only aspect of being a disciple, the only aspect of discipleship, but it's definitely an important aspect. What's a famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita describing about... I don't want to use too obvious words. Going to a spiritual master and asking questions. Adiguru, you know the answers. We want some more junior devotees answering the questions. Did anybody hear that? Anybody else? Jainatai Puri. Yeah, okay. Tedvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya uparakshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadashinaha. So just try to approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. So not just inquiring submissively, but also rendering service. A disciple's mood is also to render service to the spiritual master. When I joined the movement, Madhusudan Prabhu, who was my Varma Padajka guru, the first devotee that I met on Oxford Street, gave me a book. I think he's the first devotee I ever saw, actually, as far as I remember. He was the personal servant of my spiritual master at that time. And I got to experience what it was like for him to just serve and see him serving my spiritual master. Just, I had one opportunity to stay in my spiritual master's house in New Vajradham when I got second initiation. He was like seeing if I was ready for second initiation, like had me there close to test me before, because they recommended me. But they was like, is he ready or is he not? So I got to stay in the house and see how surrendered you have to be to actually be a personal servant. And I remember Madhusudan Puri telling me one time that he went into Guru Maharaj's room, and Guru Maharaj said, he said, no, this is not how you should be. This is not how you should act. I need you, when you come in, just to be a blank slate, a total blank slate. You come in, you haven't got any, you're not thinking about, I want this, how much sleep have I had, you know, when am I going on holiday? I don't think that was even a question, when am I going on holiday, but like, you know, probably how much sleep have I had is the main issue. When I'm going to eat, that's probably like, that's probably going to happen sometime. But you go into the room with the spiritual master. As a disciple, you're a blank slate. And he'll tell you, you know, what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, how he wants you to do it. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. And even if we're not personal servants of our spiritual masters, how many personal servants of a Diksha Guru can you have? One every few years. I had that desire always to be my spiritual master's personal servant, never really manifest, I wasn't qualified for that. But it's, we want to be the servant. We want to be the servant of our Guru. We want to serve them and please them. But we all are servants. We all have that relationship also with our initiating spiritual masters, if we have an initiating spiritual master already. And we need to develop that mood of being a blank slate. If we don't, or if we can't, then I would say also there's no point accepting a spiritual master. If you're not ready to be a disciple and you're not ready to just surrender and say, okay, I'm ready to do what you think is the best thing for me, don't accept a spiritual master. It's better you don't, because you'll just make offenses. Guru Ravagya. The guru will say, do this, and you'll say, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I could do that. Just like Prabhupada was in India with his disciples. They were on the train traveling through India. They'd stop at the train station. Devotees sitting, taking prasad, talking to Prabhupada. It's so nice being with Prabhupada. Can you imagine driving in the same train carriage as Srila Prabhupada in India for these American disciples? Never been to India before. How exciting, seeing the culture of India. And Prabhupada says, oh, this is a nice place. Get off the train. Go and open a temple. Can you imagine somebody saying that to you now? Quit your job. Move to Zimbabwe. Go open a temple. Your guru phones you up in the morning, you're on the way to work. Haribol, my obeisance is Guru Maharaj. Get on the plane, go and open a temple. Would we do that these days? That would be outrageous, you know, in the GBC would complain about the spiritual master, but that is being a disciple. That is how we're here right now, right? If it hadn't been for the six disciples of Prabhupada who surrendered their lives and came to England with absolutely nothing. They couldn't even live in the same place together when they came. They didn't have a place to live. They were living in different parts of London, meeting up. Then we wouldn't have this wonderful facility that we have now. So whether we are a personal servant of a spiritual master, or whether we're a disciple, or whether we're an aspiring disciple of a spiritual master, then we all have to cultivate that mentality of Kinkari, what can I do? So this is the name of some of the younger gopis, I believe, Kinkari, some of the Manjaris. And it just means Kim, what? Like Kim Purusha. They're like monkeys. And the name of them in Sanskrit is Kim Purusha. What kind of person is that? They're not like a person, they're like a monkey. Kim Purusha is the name of them. So Kinkari. Kara means to do. And Kim, what? Kim Kari, what can I do? How can I serve you? What do you want me to do? Direct me. Show me. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I don't know I'm trying to come up with questions so I can benefit myself, but I don't know all the questions. I don't know what I'm even supposed to ask. So you tell me what to ask if I've missed anything out. Now, how can I serve you? Srila Prabhupada said that this is the only question that he ever asked his spiritual master. So in one sense, that's the essence of all questions. Now, how can I serve you, Gurudev? What can I do? What would please you? I've had quite a few, I'm so fortunate, I've had quite a few exchanges with my spiritual master. I got to live in Hungary for 10 years, so he was there quite a lot and had different interactions. And when I was preparing for class, a few came to mind. Generally, of me not satisfying my spiritual master, of learning, you know, how to try and improve. One time, I did actually get to be his like personal servant just for a few days, just for one weekend. We were preaching in Turkey. I had the good opportunity to take part in the preaching that was going on in Turkey. They would send me there sometimes, and this time they sent me there. I was staying at Nishinga Krishna Prabhu's house, who's basically in charge of all the preaching in Turkey. And Guru Maharaj was coming, and I was the devotee who was going to look after him, cook for him, wash his clothes, stuff like that. So it was probably the most intense weekend of my life, and it was constant chastisement from my spiritual master, constantly. And the worst bit was, I mean, I was getting chastised and chastised and chastised. Everything I did, well, not everything, there were some good things, there was some encouragement, but basically it was like, you know, kind of like ripping the skin off your bones, you know, it was like very intense. And then the worst bit was he said, I don't want to be chastising you all the time. You know, I want to be, you know, saying nice things and encouraging you, but the way you're acting, you know, I just have to, you know, correct you. And I mean, I'm sure that's because I'm especially fallen and spaced out. What did he say to me at one point? Then he said, you're like a burnt out hippie, but you're not burnt out. I was like, I asked Shyam Bihari Prabhu a few years later, I told him about it. I said, it was like heavy. He said, yeah, it's normal. When you get close to the fire, he said, that's what it's like. But anyway, it was interesting. It was good. I've found in encounters with my spiritual master that when you get chastised, when you get correct, I think chastised is the best word, not corrected. It's kind of, I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it brings you very close to your spiritual master. It humbles you, and it's like, because we wouldn't say all of that to everybody, right? You're not going to go up to somebody and say, you know, as devotees also, if sometimes we're here in the temple room, say we're in japa period, somebody comes down, plonks themselves in the middle of the temple room with their back straight to Prabhupada, they're like chanting japa and their beads are like halfway over the floor, some new devotee comes. I don't know if you experience it, but I experience it that when it happens, it's like, trying to chant my japa, I was like, oh God, I've got to go over to that person and tell them, don't sit with your back to Prabhupada. It's like, I'd rather just chant my japa. And you don't know what they're going to say. They're going to like get annoyed. And it's like, I'd rather just chant my japa. And I see that also with, I think I'm losing the point of what I was saying. What was the point I was making before I diverse? Yeah, being chastised. And maybe I'll just stick to that. So being chastised is so much mercy, actually, and it's so much blessings, because it means that your guru is accepting you as a disciple. And it means that he trusts that you can take that as well. So although it may be painful, and although it may be difficult, being chastised is very good. It's very good for a disciple, especially if you're not humble, like moi. So It's said that one should always feel a fool in front of one's spiritual master. And if you're not feeling a fool in front of your spiritual master, then if your spiritual master is kind to you, then he'll help you feel a fool in front of your spiritual master by pointing out that you are a fool. In comparison to your spiritual master, you are a fool. And if you think that, you know, actually, you know, I know better, which we can think when you're with your spiritual master may do this or do that. You may think, actually, would have been better if he'd done that. Or he's sitting in his class, is like, well, you know, I could have done better than that. I could have answered that question better than that. These things naturally come up in the mind. What is that saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. Exactly. If you're with the spiritual master, then you have to be very careful. That's often why it's a good idea not to spend too much time in the close proximity of your spiritual master, because it's just natural. I saw some quotes Mother Ermola put the other day, and devotees had made an advertisement for Srila Prabhupada, for one program with Srila Prabhupada, and they were saying, this man has changed the world through his teachings of Krishna consciousness. And they'd like used the latest, I don't know, whatever it was at that time, like method of design to make this advert, make it very cool and attractive. Put a lot of effort into it. And they took it to Prabhupada and they gave it to Prabhupada. They saw, this man has changed the face of the world. He said, you should not call the spiritual master a man. And he gave it back to them like this, like, disgusted face. So just tiny little things, you know, even maybe it was not, there was not any intention to minimize Srila Prabhupada, but just the lack of education, or one has to be very careful. And if one's with the spiritual master and spending a lot of time with them, also with devotees in general, you spend time with devotees, like what, the devotee snores every time in a brahmachari ashram. I experienced that with Shambhihari Prabhu as well. We were on book distribution in Norway, traveling all around Norway, and we would be sleeping on the floor in some hostel or somebody's house or something. As soon as he hit the yoga mat, he would start snoring, like, straight away. I don't know how he did it, like immediately. I would wake him up, and then he went and slept in the bathroom every day. He said it was warmer in there anyway. So yeah, we become familiar with devotees, we become familiar with the spiritual master, and we should be very careful. I also experienced that, also this issue of vapu and vani, that associating with the spiritual master, being with the spiritual master, getting the benefit of the spiritual master, we know that vani is higher than vapu. So somebody tell me what vani is. It's not Srinivas Puru, Jainatai Puru, or Adiguru Puru, or you two senior Vaishnavas. Yeah, tell me, Sam.
Vani is instructions.
Yeah, and vapu? Well, not exactly.
There's two forms of association. One by his instructions, vani, one by his personal presence.
Yeah, vapu is like the personal form, presence of the spiritual master. So both are important, and neither should be neglected. If your spiritual master is in town, then you should go serve, offer service, and do what you can. But we should understand that we can't be with the Vapu all the time, especially in ISKCON. Spiritual masters are generally nowhere around us unless we live where they are. The Vani is much higher, and we can always associate with that Vani. I personally experience with my spiritual master that I feel closest to him when I'm reading his books. I just feel, I don't know, I can feel his presence. I feel that I'm with him. I feel like I'm associating with him. And I experienced in Hungary sometimes that he would be right there, but I didn't feel really connected. I didn't really know what to say. There were other devotees who were kind of like, you know, able to associate and talk and, you know, interact. I was just kind of like watching. My spiritual master was right there, but I didn't really feel like connected necessarily. But I may be in, you know, 5,000, 10,000 miles away, but I'm reading his books, and I feel, yeah, I'm with my spiritual master, I'm interacting, I'm serving him, I'm engaged in his service. So Vani is always there, and more important than the Vapu. But we should also understand that it's not all about Diksha Guru. I don't believe that Shukadev Goswami was the Diksha Guru of Maharaj Parikshit. As far as I know, he was his Shiksha Guru. And we know in the line, in our disciplic line, that it's a Shiksha line, it's not a Diksha line. So we have Srila Prabhupada, his Diksha Guru was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose Diksha Guru was Gaurakishore Das Babaji. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't the Diksha Guru of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, right? They were more like associates. Gaurakishore Das Babaji would hear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I don't think Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji, right? Prabhu, so I think it was just a Shiksha relationship. So, as I mentioned, our Diksha Gurus, they're generally, we see them when? Once a year, probably. Most already see their Diksha Gurus around once a year. That's like probably average. But what else is happening the rest of the time? We're getting Shiksha, we're hearing. And who are we hearing from? So many different devotees. So all of the devotees who are surrounding us, anybody who's giving us guidance, anybody who's teaching us about Krishna consciousness, they are our spiritual masters. And they are very important spiritual masters, actually, because they are dealing with us day in and day out. Hare Krishna. And we shouldn't minimize that. Yes, we're hearing from our spiritual masters, whether they're here or whether they're not here, they're giving classes, or we're reading their books, or we're listening to their lectures, or we're writing to them and receiving letters. But if it's not for the association of other devotees that are around us and surrounding us, then where would we be? It's said that the bhakti lata, the devotional creeper that's within our hearts, it's nourished by what? What do we water the devotional creeper with? Not sadhu sangha. Yeah, shravanam kirtanam. That's the water that we water the devotional creeper with. That has to grow. It has to grow all the way back up to Goloka Vrindavan. So we're constantly hearing from devotees, right? Some devotees are giving class, or devotees are leading kirtans. Or even if it's not giving class, it can be a few words here or there. Somebody says something, or we may be disturbed or in a particular situation, and some devotee, we ask the advice of devotees. I remember Mohan Prabhu in Hungary, like he was in a particular situation and he thought, I'll go to three brahmanas and ask them their advice on this, and I'll take it as Krishna's direction, what he says through them. So we say that to devotees, right? Or it may be our wives. We speak to our wives about something, reveal our mind, talk to them about it, or our friends. This is all Shiksha. This is all the principle of Krishna consciousness, the essence of Krishna consciousness, Krishna speaking through devotees to guide us back to him, to help us on the path back to Godhead. So we should be very grateful to the devotees that surround us, that help us in our Krishna consciousness and guide us, and not neglect them. He said a Kanishta Adhikari, he understands about Krishna, but he neglects the other devotees. And it's usually the same with the spiritual master as well. He's my guru. You know, I'm a disciple of stamp. You know, stamp them on the chest. I'm a disciple of His Holiness, whoever it may be. I'm His disciple. He's my guru. When I come, I shave. When He comes, I shave my head. Yeah. When He comes, I put a dhoti on, if I can still remember how to put it on. You know, I'm there at the program. I look clean, tidy, and organized. The rest of the year, who knows where I am. My guru comes and I'm right at the front, you know. As soon as he steps out of the car, I'm the one giving the garland. What about the rest of the year? Where are you the rest of the year in the Bhagavatam class or the morning program or book distribution or Harinam or taking responsibility? That's a Kanishta Adhikari. When my guru comes, I'm fired up. Is that what your guru wants? Your guru doesn't want some personality cult. That's how my spiritual master says it. No. They want us to take responsibility and push on Krishna consciousness. And that means engaging all of the time, not just when our spiritual masters are here. So we hear from everybody and we should be grateful for that. When it comes time for us to leave our bodies, maybe if we're lucky, our spiritual master may be there or maybe on the phone, but you guys will be here, you know. We'll be If we're really lucky, the devotees will be there, visiting us in hospital, bringing us prasadam. So if we appreciate that who we're surrounded by, who is guiding us, who is giving us friendship and love in our Krishna consciousness, then maybe they'll be there for us also when we need it. There's a very nice verse that I managed to just nab at the end before class. I did learn this one before. Govindapu, do you know this one? It's Sanatan Goswami speaking to Haridas Thakur, glorifying him, saying how you're a good example. Perfect, yeah, that's right. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 4.103. There's one previous to that as well. So this is Sanatan Goswami speaking to Haridas Thakur. Open. Won't open. Anyway, the English is... Oh no, here we go. The first... Do you know the one previous to that, Govinda Haru? Yeah, that's right. Apane achare keha na kare prachara, prachara karena keha na karena achara. Some behave very well, but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness. Whereas others preach, but do not behave properly. And this is the... Of course, I won't open it now. And this is the other one. Achara prachara namer kara karaha dui karya. Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya. So achar means what? Yeah. And prachar, not Ruben Puri, anybody else? Prachar. It's almost the same in English. Preaching, yeah. Nachar pracha namer karaha dui karya. You simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. So Sanatan Goswami is saying to Haridas Thakur, you are preaching Krishna consciousness, you are giving Krishna consciousness to everybody, pracha, but you're also acting as a devotee. You're doing both. You're setting the example and you're also teaching others. Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya. Therefore you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world. So I was thinking also that, you know, being an inquisitive disciple is extremely important. Hearing from the spiritual master, we spoke about that. Serving the spiritual master, rendering service, being open to doing that, doing whatever service the spiritual master wants, that's also very important. I'm just summarizing here. But then also not just the spiritual master, because when do we see them? We can associate with their vapu when they're here, but we also associate with their vani. But we're also associating with so many devotees and getting the mercy of so many devotees, hearing from so many devotees. But also, what is the real preaching? One devotee said a really good thing in Hungary one time, Atula Krishnapuri, in class. Oh, was it in class he said it? No, it wasn't in class. It was to me personally. He was my mentor for a while. And he said this thing. I thought it was so good. He said, it's very easy to be Krishna conscious when you're sitting on the Vyasasan, you know, spouting philosophy. Yeah, I'm so Krishna conscious. I have my phone here. It's got so many verses in it that I can read out. You know, this is the truth. You should do this. You should be like this. Very easy to be Krishna conscious on the Vyasasan. He said, but when you're at home and you're in the kitchen and your wife is shouting at you, then how Krishna conscious are you? How are you going to react? How much can you control your mind? How much can you react in the right way? And whether you're married or whether you're not, or whether it's the kitchen or whether it's the living room, it doesn't matter. Being on the Vyasasan preaching is okay, but what is your achar in your private life when there's nobody around, you've got your phone in your hand, You know, how are you chatting your rounds when you're at home? Is your phone switched on or is it switched off? You know, how are we chatting our rounds? How are we acting with the people that we know the best? What is our achar? How are we acting? And I was thinking this about also Wanda Rodi recently. One of my close friends, Prabhakar Prabhu, he left his body in Hungary. So we were very close. My wife's close to his wife. Our children, Madhusham, who was just here, he's like 2.5 months younger than Prabhakar Prabhu's son. So our wives were pregnant at the same time with our first children. The children are born almost at the same time. They were growing up together in Hungary. We would go on book distribution together to different places. He was my shiksha guru for a while. And he just left his body in Hungary. He's the same age as me. And he got diagnosed with brain cancer about 6 months ago. First time, and then he's already gone. So my spiritual master said when it came out that it was not only terminal, that it was just spread everywhere and there was just no hope really. He said on the podcast, he said he's a pure devotee and he's going to go back to Godhead. So what better preaching is there than that? Going back to Godhead. So Prabhakar Prabhu, he was a very nice devotee. He was a humble devotee. He wasn't a big anything in one sense. He was a pujari, he was a book distributor, he was very humble, servant of the devotees, and very humble, would always serve in whatever way he could. He would never win the marathons, he wasn't a diksha guru or a sannyasi, he was a grihastha, he had a family. But now he's with Krishna in Krishna's pastimes in the material world, according to my spiritual master, and we're here. But what better preaching is there than that? How much faith does that instill in us that I was standing side by side with him on book distribution, we were in the pujari together, you know, sitting in the same car with him, driving to Sweden. So I see, you know, this person, he was with me, he's gone back to Godhead. And it gives me faith that, I can go, you know, if I do the same thing as he did, which is you don't have to be Srila Prabhupada, you didn't have to be Keshava Maharaj or Shivaram Maharaj or, you know, the temple president, that anybody can go, then what kind of achar and what kind of prachar is that? So if we're just humble servants, if we just take part in ISKCON, normally serve the devotees, then that is the natural conclusion that you'll go back to Godhead. And we see that that's happening with devotees, and if we can just follow in their footsteps, follow their example, we don't have to be the biggest anything. You just chant Hare Krishna and serve the devotees and stick around. Then that is our destination. So, I mentioned a few points about guru, disciple, shiksha, vani, vapu, devotees, things like that. I'll finish there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? It says here you have to ask questions. So, go ahead. Yes, Prabhu? I don't know your name, but... Tadako Pratishtha Shrutiya Vibhinnam.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Tarun Krishna Prabhu. This point you bring up about a disciple should be like foolish, a blank slate. How do we relate it to being... to being a competent disciple, but at the same time being foolish?
So you said blank slate, competent and foolish. How do we reconcile those different things? Yeah, although you may feel like a fool in the presence of a spiritual master, it doesn't mean you should act like a fool in the service of the spiritual master. And we feel incompetent. Like anything in Krishna consciousness, like I come to give Bhagavatam class and you think, you know, how am I going to give Bhagavatam class? I'm so incompetent and, you know, I'm in Maya and I don't know anything. And so these nice devotees say, you think, you know, oh, what am I going to do? But then you just try and you depend on Krishna and pray to Krishna, please, you know, help me serve the devotees, help me do my service, do my duty. So we're all, whenever we're serving, we're always instruments of Krishna. And that's all we can be. It's not us. We're not even this body. It's Krishna's body. What can we do with it? We're just using it. So we see that it's not us. We don't try to act like a fool. We just try and maintain that mentality that I'm a humble servant and, you know, I'm open to hearing from you. Like I experienced that with my children. It's an interesting thing to see that when you don't hear, when you don't want to hear, then it's very difficult to get anything done. You know, if you say to somebody, say I say to my son, okay, put your pajamas on. It's like every day, you know, put your pajamas on. It's like, I'm hungry. It's like, okay, can you just put your pajamas on and then we can eat? It's like, we need to get to bed. We need to get up in the morning and take you to school. If you say something and somebody can hear, then everything goes very nicely. If you can, if there's somebody qualified to guide and you have a parent and a child, they know what's best for the child. The child doesn't want to do it. It's a whole endeavor. It's a whole problem. So we just be open. Doesn't mean we're ready to serve. We try and do our best. We're just open to hear. And not that we go to the spiritual master and we're like, okay, these are the different options which are, you know, you can choose between A, B, or C, guru, you know. Be careful which one you choose. It may sound strange, but we all have that in our minds. And just, I think that example of Prabhupada with the train is enough. Prabhupada, get off the train with your wife, you know. There's a new life for you from this second. So we should be like that with the spiritual master. When we go to the spiritual master, tell me what to do. I don't know what's best for me. And then he may say, okay, where are you? What are you doing? You know, what's your life? But we should be open. And yeah, God forbid not doing what the spiritual master says. I remember one thing I wanted to mention was another of my foolish activities in Hungary. One time, many times in Hungary, I wanted to leave the farm because I was a pujari, full-time pujari, which was really, really difficult for me. And it was just so hard just to like keep doing it and just continue full time. It's pretty intense service to do it full time, year after year. Sometimes I would want to leave and I would like go to my guru and I want to go and do this. And I went one time, I'd spoken to my wife, yeah, we want to go. I think we wanted to go to England. And I went and spoke to him and he listened and he just looked so disgusted. And he was like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's like, he just looked so sad and so disappointed and so disgusted all at the same time. And he kind of just got up and turned away and said, he said, and where is Krishna in all of this? And I just felt so bad. I just told, given him so many reasons why I should do this and why I should do that and why it would be good for me and, you know, why it's good. And he's like, where is Krishna in this? So then I said, okay, Guru Maharaj, tell me, you know, what you think. He said, I think you should forget the whole thing and carry on doing what you're doing. So I said, okay, I'll do that then. So that's, we have to just, not that we have a whole thing, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, it's going to be good for me, I'm going to be happy, it's going to work like this. If the guru asks you, then tell him, and then he'll say, no, it's a stupid idea. Or maybe yes, but I want you to do this, I need this. So many times that's the thing, right? Something needs to be done. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're a book distributor, but you have to become the temple commander because there's no temple commander. Or they're starting a new temple and they need help somewhere. It's like, it's not my nature. I'm not good at it. Never done it before, but there's nobody to do it, so I'll do it. We can't even comprehend the difficulties Prabhupada went through to give us what he gave us. We can't even understand. You know, English wasn't, so many things. English wasn't his first language. He's never been here. Thought he might only have to eat. You know, there's only meat in America when he goes there. He's like half dies on the ship coming here. It's like, how many more obstacles can you think of? It's just, so we should also have that same mood. How can I serve? How can I contribute? What can I give? And then go to devotees. Even if we don't have a Diksha Guru that we can, you know, go to, then we go to some trusted devotee and say, look, this is a short life I've got right now. I don't want to spend my whole life earning money and looking after myself. I want to contribute to Prabhupada's mission. What can I do? You know, I would like to do this, or I have these skills. How can I contribute? Because we all need that. We need that in ISKCON. We need devotees to push this movement on. Sorry, I got a bit excited. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
So we should. Many Srila Prabhupada or many acharyas preach a lot about having our spiritual masters, the life and soul. But at the same time, they talk about having Radha and Krishna as our life and soul. So how do we maintain this balance between thinking about the spiritual master and thinking about Radha and Krishna, and also thinking about Gaur Nitai and thinking about the Vaishnavas? So how do we maintain a balance between...
Well, I would say that... Nice question. I'd say that the ultimate goal is Radha and Krishna, and everything is based around that. The guru is not something else. He's taking you to them. So he's taking you to Gaur Nitai, he's taking you to Radha Krishna. And it's also an individual thing. Do you want to go to Radha Krishna? Or do you want to go to Krishna Balaram? Or do you want to go to Gaur Nitai? It's like nobody can tell you. Nobody's going to tell you, yes. You have to feel it. And that will take time in devotee's life. Yeah, who are you more attracted to? Where is your inspiration? And then your guru is directing you to that. So in the beginning, it may be a bit confusing, like, you know, which deity to look at. You know, well, so many deities here, who do I focus on? But in time, as things get cleared away in the heart, then there's a natural attraction. And you just naturally think of them. And the guru helps you to clear that away. But we approach Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram through Gaur Nitai. So you can't approach Krishna without going through Gaur Nitai. This movement is Gaur Nitai's movement. We're singing and dancing and preaching. And this is Lord Chaitanya's activities. So it's all one in one sense. It's all one line. Guru takes you to Gaur Nitai, they take you to Radha Krishna. It's not like there's different things. Where do I go? Which direction? It's all one line. And we go through the spiritual master. The spiritual master is a servant of Radha and Krishna, right? Nikunja yuno ratikeli siddhyai. They're serving Radha and Krishna. Engaging in the Sangha movement of Lord Chaitanya. So it's all one. But it takes time for that to become clear. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, yes. It wouldn't be a complete class without Coco asking some questions at the end of it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wonder, there were so many amazing points, and I loved it. I loved the lecture. How about the other side? If we, you know, get an instruction and we, you know, execute it, we kind of perform it, and then sometimes as devotees we're not so eager to, you know, speak up about it if it's not so sitting right with yourself, you know. Sometimes the instruction doesn't necessarily come from, you know, maybe it's conflicting, like maybe it's not from spiritual master I'm talking about, because I don't have a spiritual master directly instructing me, but it's just like various devotees, you know. So maybe one devotee can tell you, oh, you do this, you know, and then he's not supported perhaps by some other devotees, and sometimes he's just like, what about that, you know?
Yeah, it can be confusing. You mean like, so some devotees tell us one thing, and another devotee says another thing, and it may be difficult to, you can't do both of them, it may be conflicting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's confusing, and there's this nice verse, Tadko Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhinnam. How's the rest of it going? Yeah? What's the third line? Yeah. Yeah, so this verse is saying that dry logic is inconclusive. Every muni, they're competing with each other. the Vedas, it's very difficult to find the truth in there. So it's the Mahajanas, they have the truth in their hearts and they can explain it to you. It's difficult to apply Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult, right? You read the books and like, but yeah, what do I do right now in this situation? I'm at work, you know, what do I do right now? What do I do and in my life? How do I act with my wife? How do I act with my children? How do I act with my temple commander? Right in this second, what do I do? What's the right thing to do? What's the Krishna conscious thing to do? Very difficult to know. So, and there will be situations where different devotees say different things, or there'll be times when devotees tell us the wrong thing. Like I remember one devotee telling me in Hungary, for somebody else it may not be the wrong thing, he said, don't open your heart to your wife because, I can't quite remember what the reason was, that women are so fallen and she'll like degrade you or something like that. It was something like that. It was like, don't share, you know, everything. Don't share everything. Keep something to yourself. And I was like, well, that's not going to work because I haven't got time to hang out without anybody else. I need to talk to somebody. So I have to talk to my wife. So I'll talk to her. And that worked well. You know, I actually have an honest, like, open relationship and communication, and it helps me in my Krishna consciousness. And so sometimes devotees will tell us the wrong thing. And to be honest, I think the core thing for everything is just to be sincere. Like, if you have a desire to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna will help you to fulfill that. If we actually want to attain Krishna, we want to advance, we want to purify ourselves, that's what we need to have and cultivate. And then there will be different obstacles. Like, devotees have gone through so many things, right? Especially in this UK yatra, it's like incredible what devotees have gone through. Their gurus leaving, and they get another guru, that one leaves, it's like, so many things I've gone through. So there will be many tests that Krishna sends, there will be many tricky situations. Krishna loves putting us in tricky situations. And you're like trying to balance the situation, like, what on earth do I do right now? I'm supposed to act like this or act like that. So we'll learn from experience, we'll learn from our mistakes, and sometimes we should say to devotees, if they say, you do this, and you say, but, you can say it, you know, in a nice way, but if I do that, then this is going to happen, or that's not practical, it's not going to work. Even if it's your authority, you can say that if it's in the right mood, and say, look, what do you think? I'm thinking that maybe that's not such a good idea. And they say, no, you should do it. And like, okay, I'll do it. But you can communication is so important. That's like asking questions, right? It's communicating that I don't understand this thing, so explain it to me. If somebody says, do this, and you think it's a bad idea, then say, Prabhu, I'll do it if you really want me to. You're my authority, but I'm not sure it's a great idea because of this. And then you're free of responsibility for it. And yeah, anyway, there'll be many conflicting, difficult situations to deal with. But if we're sincere, then Krishna will help us and we'll survive in our Krishna consciousness. I hope that's okay. We should finish here. It's 8:41. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for all the senior devotees here tolerating my presence. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai.